Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Chaim Schmidt. This is The Kosher Scene, and tonight we are talking to Esther Zafrani from Glorious Creations Desserts. Good evening, Esther.
Good evening. Tell us a little bit about how you got into food carving and everything else you may have done in your food adventures.
Yes. I was a teacher for many years. I love teaching. That's my passion. I am also very creative. I love to paint. I love to draw. I love to bake. I love to cook. Since I was a kid, I always joke that I was born with a crayon in my hand because I loved drawing. I loved, I loved anything that had to do with being creative. I was teaching for many years, and then things changed in life. I needed to make more money. I decided to go into cake decorating. And since I love teaching, I decided to become an instructor. So I started first teaching how to decorate cakes. I loved it. I got a lot of feedback from students, how they're doing very well. And eventually a lot of students opened up businesses. So to me, it was like very rewarding. I love teaching. And then the fact that I see very good results, it even encouraged me to do more. So I started to expand my business by not only teaching, giving demos, also by selling cakes. After decorating for maybe 3-4 years, I decided to go into carving fruits and vegetables. I started doing that. Of course, I started teaching that also and starting to sell it. And the same thing, I started writing. My students really were interested in instructions. I was thinking of writing a book, but it was a little too early, so I decided to write pamphlets with instructions and pictures, which was very helpful for the students. And I sell them when I teach the students. I have like different levels, level 1, 2, 3, more advanced. And I teach private and groups all over. I give demos. And I find it very rewarding, the fact that I love teaching and I see results from my teaching. And I have a passion for teaching and for creating. So I'm killing two birds in one shot.
I understand, as you said, that you went into cake decoration.
Yes.
I can understand that you said that you like to bake and so on and so forth. From there, however, what suddenly inspired you to go into food carving?
I saw a book with all these creations, and I said, wait a minute, that's my speed. I would love to go into it. I took a small course. Unfortunately, the teacher was not good. I did not learn much, and I said to myself, this is what I'm going to learn from a class. Let me teach myself. And I bought books and videos, and I'm not scared to do mistakes. So I practiced and practiced until I perfected myself. And I was having fun because, if it doesn't come out good, you end up eating it. Cake, it's a little different. You work so hard, and if it doesn't come out good, you really sit and cry because there's a lot of work. But when it comes to carving, basically a lot of practice. And my kids loved it because whenever I would use exotic fruits, they had all the exotic fruits, coming to them after I carved it and I didn't like it or whatever. They ended up eating it. But it's also part of the art. Everything is part of creating. I want to do also ice carving, but I realize it's not for me because it's like you need like big chisels and big things. Anything that has to do with art. I'm hungry to learn everything. I'm always ready to learn everything.
I am sure that in your career teaching, not always did things work out the way you wanted. I am sure that sometimes the results may have been tragic, sometimes they may have been funny. Care to tell us a story like that?
Well, I would find it, I had overall very good results. The only thing is what you say tragic, I won't call it tragic. Sometimes you have students that are not so, they want to learn, but they're not ready for it. They're not as creative. So they just ask 100 questions that don't even make sense. You just have to be very patient, and I do have the patience.
Well, that's
basically
part of teaching.
Yeah. So that was not the problem, but I find it very rewarding. I have very inspiring stories that I have from students. I had students a few years ago. She's about 60 years old. I know it sounds like a little funny, but she used to tell me every day when she came to my class, we took a few courses. First, all the cake decorating, different levels, then the fruit carving. When she took the fruit carving, she was complaining to me that she's going through menopause and every day she feels like she's dying. Until one day she came to me, as to hugging me, I went to doctors, I went everywhere to find a cure. I finally found the cure. Carving is my cure. And I even told my doctor, and my doctor suggested, go ahead, just do it. She took all the courses. She does for her grandchildren, her children, everybody. She sits in class and she says that was her cure. So, and besides my other experiences of students that I meet them years after, I don't remember all the names because I have thousands of students, and said, oh, you remember you taught me, and I did it for the upsharing, I did it for my brother's engagement, I did it for the VART, I did it for you name it. I also have a student that's been with me for 3 years. His psychologist called me, he knows me, and he says, listen, this kid has ADD and he's on all kind of medications, but he has a passion for baking and cooking. You know, he would like to try it. I said, fine. To me, everybody comes, they enjoy, and you just move on. I started teaching him, and it became very difficult because he would call me 100 times a day, and forget half of the things, and what do I do, and what that. So it got to a point that after a few months that I really felt it wasn't for me, so I dropped him. The phone calls I got from his psychiatrist, from his psychologist, from his social worker, from his parents, everybody. Please, please, you don't know what you do to this child by teaching him baking and cooking. I was getting phone calls day and night, and I did not know what to do. And I said to myself, wait a minute. If this kid is gaining something out of it, I have to switch gears. I was thinking about it, and I decided to turn the teaching into baking and cooking therapy. And lo and behold, this kid now, he's doing so well. I helped him make business cards. I helped him boost up his ego. He sells to people that basically know him, and he makes a couple dollars. Basically, I'm doing therapy for him. His psychologist called me sometimes and said, well, we're going to discuss A and B. Please tell him to do so-and-so. He only listens to what I say. He feels this connection between, you know, the baking and cooking. I ended up, you know, I wasn't equipped to be a therapist, but I saw how important it was to this child. So I ended up turning it into, therapy, cooking and baking therapy. And he would not miss even one class. I know his whole life history. We discuss everything. And I find that it was very rewarding knowing that I managed to do not always a positive thing. Not always, you know, it's the part that always people come and learn and they're excited and they know. I always had the good students, and here I'm having the student that I had such difficulty, I felt I wasn't ready for this. I'm not a psychologist. I just dropped him. But then I realized sometimes you just have to switch gears and bend and not always do what you think.
Any funny stories that you got to share with us? I'm sure there must have been some over the years.
Funny stories. I'm sure there were some funny stories. Well, you know what? There's always humor in class. I'm just trying to think. It's so funny that I myself always remember the positive things. Funny. Why am I having a difficult time remembering it? Funny story. Yeah, when I gave a list to the students to bring for class, and she was speaking Spanish, when I told her to bring a measuring cup, she ended up bringing a pot, and everybody's like, what are you doing here? But, you know, we turned it into humor. And when I meet her here and there, she reminds me, remember when or to pot, and probably many more. My classes are full of humor. I make it fun. That's basically it's fun, and the students, you know, besides that, they learn a lot. They also, you know, they find it very therapeutic. I find it therapeutic for myself because I enjoy teaching. I enjoy the, you know, the art part, and there's definitely a lot of rewards, and I have a passion for it. So it's really, it's an exciting thing, and it's good.
You have given demos in all over.
Yeah.
I understand that recently you were in Europe.
Yeah, that's correct.
Was that the first time you gave a demo overseas, or did it happen before?
It wasn't a demo. This was actually with a pastry chef and a garmager. I did. I was in charge of the bakery for 60th birthday of a very wealthy man who's on the list of Forbes. His name is Alex Roth. I was in charge of the bakery. We did, you know, I did all the pastries. I also was doing the carving, setting all the tables for the Viennese table. So I did a carving of him and his Bentley. His invitation was a picture of him in a Bentley. So I carved that on a watermelon, and I did other beautiful centerpieces for his party. There were 300 people there. He did it in Ukraine. He flew a lot of his people from the United States. He lives over here. He was born there. He owns a hotel there. So every 10 years, he makes a big birthday party. So this was the first year all my kids were in camp, and I was able to go overseas. And it was a very inspiring. It was very nice because I ended up going to Prague. I went to Vienna. Yes, I saw history also. It was really nice. It was a very big, nice experience.
How long were you in Europe?
About 3 weeks. 1 week of prep, 1 week of work. It was a whole week. So das Achashverosh. It was a whole week there of a party, and the week after we just went traveling.
Very
so
nice.
It was very nice, yeah.
How do people get in touch with you? I know that you have a website. What is your website? In general, how do people get in touch with you, whether for demos or whether they want you to do something for their simcha or so on?
Well, my website is glorioucreationsdesserts.com. If you Google classes in Brooklyn, I will come up. If you Google cakes, fruit platters, I come up. Basically, it's word of mouth. A lot of word of mouth. One person calls me for a demo, then the other one hears. A lot of word of mouth. And I've been teaching for at least 12 years. People know me. I love teaching. I think I'm one and only. There are some that teach, but not as much as I do. I'm also a certified Wilton instructor. I became certified from this big company that sells all the baking and decorating supplies. And in order to give their courses, and they place you in places, you need to be certified by them and take the courses. And once I'm certified, I'm all over. So that also, you know, I do that a lot. And basically, I would say it's basically word of mouth.
Have you given any courses, any demos outside of the New York area?
I couldn't do it yet because my kids were younger, so it's a little difficult. Now that all the kids are grown, so then I'm more open to do that. Yeah, it was just a little difficult when they're younger.
And if somebody wants to call you to book you, what is the number they should call?
Well, call me at my cell, 917-803-6051. Or at home, 718, at the office, 718-258-9491. You can also check my website, glorioucreationsdesserts.com. And basically, you know, call me and I'll be there for you. I help you. If you don't know what you would like, I usually come up with ideas. I try to help people out that are not sure what they want, what they're looking for. I'm good at that.
Now, I understand that you give various courses on cake decorating, and you also give various courses on food carving. Can you give us some of the subject matter that is covered in those courses? What is one expected to learn, and how long are the courses?
Okay, there is a course one. That's for the beginners. What we learn in the course one, we learn how to layer a cake. I also give like a little introduction about how to bake a cake, because if you don't know how to bake a cake, then there's no choice. But you'll be surprised, there are some people that love to decorate and don't know how to bake. So they use a box mix, which I'm so against it, and they sit and they have fun decorating. If you don't know how to measure, that's a major problem when it comes to baking. Everything has to be precise. It's not like cooking. Cooking, you could sprinkle a little more, a little less.
You
it's not going to change.
Later, but you can't
it cannot change the chemistry of it. In baking, there's chemistry. Everything has to be exact, measuring. So if you don't measure properly, that's it. The cake is killed. Oven temperature, all these things that go step by step, how to measure the proper measuring tools, the oven temperature, how long to bake it, because it varies with different ovens. There's a difference between commercial ovens and ovens that are at your home.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference between how many cakes you can bake in your oven. It varies. So I go step by step. Then I explain you how to make the icing. Once you learn how to make the icing, there are different consistencies. Also, the weather can change the consistency, so you have to learn how to work with the weather. If it's too cold, it's a little drier. If it's way too humid, which I always advise to work with an air conditioning room, otherwise it will not work. It can turn into, when it's 100 degrees, it can really turn into soup, really very thin. Then you don't have the proper results. So eventually you figure out, because I give you the basic recipe, then you have to learn. This takes a lot of practice, that if it's too warm, what to do, if it's too cold, what to do, how much more to add, how much less water to use. It's basically the water, the consistency. Now, once you learn how to make the icing, I teach you, and everything I do step by step, everything is hands-on. I show you different tricks. Basically, it's over the years what I taught myself from my experience of teaching and baking. How to layer a cake, how to ice it, how to make it smooth. The whole idea is that it should look smooth. This is the beginning course. Once you learn how to ice it and smooth it out, then I go step by step how to decorate. And I teach you, we practice on a little practice board with a plastic on it, and there's a pattern underneath, and we practice, let's say, stars. So if you did a mistake, you could just wipe it off with a spatula and redo it. You can practice at the beginning, you can practice as much as you want before you apply it to the cake in order not to do a mistake, because once you do a mistake on the cake, that's it. It's over. It's basically learning how to hold the bag, which is very important. Also, how to control pressure. If you squeeze too much, then too much icing starts coming out and it starts curling. You need steady hands, steady pressure, how to hold the bag where the icing doesn't leak out from the top, good control in order to avoid pain in your wrist. If you hold it the wrong way, then you're going to be squeezing and putting a lot of pressure on your wrist, and then you could get carpal tunnel or things like that. So proper holding would really help. I go through all those tips. Then we learn different decorations, how to make flowers, and then we have like, you know, final cake that everybody does in class.
Mm-hmm.
And then of course we just make a big deal out of it. We take pictures and everybody feels good. Once you take one course, most of the people want to continue to the next level. Next level is royal icing. It's totally different. It's not a regular icing, the icing that you all know that has the Crisco in it. This is, it's a meringue powder, which is dried pasteurized egg whites, which is a stabilizer and helps the icing turn into like a candy. It gets hard. When you make a flour, it gets hard like a candy. So it's a different kind of flour. I teach you how to, again, work with the icing, how to pipe different flours, let them dry for 24 hours, air dry, then you just apply it on the cake. I teach you how to make basket weaves. I teach you the trick, because most people have a very hard time with basket weave, because if you do one thing wrong, it's like a puzzle. It will not fit. You're missing a link, that's it. So over the years, I came with a lot of tricks, and that's what I teach the students. The third level is fondant and gum paste. Fondant is like a dough. The things that you put on a cake, usually use it for wedding cakes. It's a much fancier cake. It's much smoother, prettier looking. I teach you also how to make gum paste flowers, like pure lilies. They look like real. How to ruffle them. How you have to have delicate hands, very delicate hands. With the icing, you need to work with muscles. With this, with the gum paste, you need to be very delicate. It's ruffling. It dries out quickly. You have to work really quick, but it's very detailed. It's a lot of work. Like I would make an orchid. I know how to make orchids. This is like a lot more advanced. Lilies, calla lilies, roses, chrysanthemums. Various of flowers, but you just have to be more delicate. Most students love it because, again, it's very therapeutic, and it looks like a real flower. That's the beauty. When you put it on a wedding cake or any cake, people don't know the difference if you do a good job. It has to be thin, and it's like art. You have to paint it with edible food coloring. That's a powder.
You have just anticipated a question. What do you do with a flower that has multicolors on it?
You have to have several brushes like art, and you have to be very delicate and gentle, and you do have to know how to blend. That's the art of painting, where I bring my art into here. Most students, this is the real advanced course. I love it because I feel like I'm painting, I'm mixing colors. You have to just be very delicate, because if you do something wrong, that's it. If you blend it wrong, it sets on the flower. But it's basically you need a few, several different brushes, different sizes, and you have to be very sensitive. People that are artistic are more sensitive to detail, because
mm-hmm.
in order for it to
that
look
the
nature
of
that. So basically, and the flowers are gorgeous, and I could sit for hours. It takes sometimes a whole week to make, let's say, a specific orchid, like a phalaenopsis, which is also called a moss. The steps to let it dry, then to attach it and put wires, it's all edible. All this is edible. It's just that it's attached on a food-safe wire, because you don't put anything in a cake that's not safe for eating, even though it's not edible, the wire, but it has to be food-safe. So basically, you have to learn how to work with the wires, how to wrap the wire. There are a lot of steps, and it's not so simple, but if you love it, you enjoy it, and you want to learn more and more and more. And I have students that are hungry, that I gave courses in Queens like for 6 months. They were hungry to learn more and more. It inspired me to come up with more classes on my own. I do my private classes, 3D cake, like a pocketbook, a Chanel pocketbook, Gucci pocketbook, Louis Vuitton. All these pocketbooks, you know, there's a lot of detail. There's the logos, 3D cakes, so baby shoes, wine bottle, high heel shoe, which is the latest thing that people like for their cakes. All these things I teach private, because that needs a lot of, it's a lot of details, and we need to work really more like one-on-one. So those things I do private. It's not a Wilton things. And also the advanced gum-paste classes that I give, it's also private. So people come to me that either they have a bakery and they want to learn more advanced things, or just people, I have like nurses, surgeons that love to do it as a hobby. And they're very good with their hands, so they learn, and they just come, it's because it's very therapeutic. So there's always what to learn, there's a lot to learn, and if someone is hungry, I'm always there to teach them more, because I'm myself hungry to always teach more, learn more. I'm always updating, you know, about the new things that people, you know, like for cakes and what to do. And, you know, when you're creative, it's endless. You could go on and on and on, endless.
Now, that was about the cake decorating course. What about your courses on food carving? Food carving.
Now, the food carving, it's interesting how I came up with the pamphlets, because the students, after they took every single course of cake decorating, I told them that I do carving. I was going to teach just one course, and they were not happy just with one course. So I came up with a whole curriculum of three different levels. And if anybody wants to learn more advanced, that has to be more one-on-one, because it's very difficult. It takes long. Some carvings, if I carve in a watermelon, whatever it is, either a logo or face, it could take 3 hours or more. So if I'm teaching a class for 3 hours to sit, you need them one-on-one. This is something more one-on-one. So I came up with the pamphlets that just breaks down everything to simple, simple that you can follow it. That's also, I find, my expertise. Like my students always tell me, you make it sound so simple. I said, that's my job, to make something complicated and to break it down into simple steps. So the first course, I basically teach them how to work with specific tools. Like, let's say it's called a twin curler, how to make little twists that add decorations to a platter. The first course we do step-by-step individual things. And the last class, I teach them how to put a platter together. So you do individual things, let's say a flower out of a zucchini. So I show them how to hold the knife. You don't hold the knife the same way you hold in the kitchen chopping, because you need control. How to work with the tools. We learn how to make mushroom flowers, radish flowers. There's so many different methods of making radish flowers. I also add a lot of spice to it. People love when you do little animals, let's say for a birthday party. The kids love it. I give them ideas how to make an elephant out of an orange. I've done that with 10-year-olds, with 60-year-olds, and they had fun. Both had fun just as much. It's a fun thing because when you want, each one has children and grandchildren, and to entertain for a birthday, it's a lot of fun. I do this for birthday parties and for bas mitzvahs a lot. I teach hands-on the girls. Each one gets to have enough tools for all the girls, and we do hands-on, and they go home with a project, which is a lot of fun. We learn how to make a palm tree. We learn flowers, a baby carriage, which is nice for Shalom Zachor or Kiddush. I show them how to make birds, especially with Shabbos Shira. I also do this for Rosh Hashanah. I teach also schools. I tell the girls, make it for Rosh Hashanah, for the little kids, and each wing, let them dip in honey. The kids love it. They look forward for apples, for the wings to dip it in the honey. So just another little fun thing. We learn also a penguin out of a squash. And then at the end, I teach them how to put a platter, vegetable platter together, because we learned everything individually, and how to slice fruits and put the fruits together. So this is the level one. That's the basic. Then most of them go to the second course because they have so much fun and they learn a lot. So the second course is more advanced and you need different tools. So we learn like more detailed work, like I would teach them how to make a swan from an apple because it's just more control with the knife. Once they learn how to control the knife and hold the knife and carve, so I'm teaching them, you know, I teach them more complicated things. Well, a rose out of a turnip and how to color it to make it look like a rose, the little tricks. A chrysanthemum out of a cantaloupe or a honeydew, which is a lot of fun and beautiful for display, for chasana, for bar mitzvah, whatever. These are gorgeous displays. And once you creative, I say there are never rules in being creative. Use your imagination, whatever you feel, just, you know, it comes within. So there are no rules. You have to put the chrysanthemum on the right or the apple bird on the left. Just have fun. That's what I tell everybody. Now, we learn how to make the mango rose, which is also very pretty for a platter. It adds a lot. Then the watermelon flower is gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous. Once you took the first course, then you have more control with a knife and how to do details. You have to hold it like a pen, not like a regular knife. So that's a lot of fun. Then we learn how to make a peacock out of a watermelon, and it's a lot of fun. It just adds beauty. I also give patterns because not everybody knows how to draw. Some of them can carve, but drawing is an extra talent. So I give them a pattern, and I show them how to apply it and draw on the watermelon or whatever, the honeydew, whatever it is, to just make it easier. Then we go to the third course, which is a lot more advanced, and those are the ones that really know already how to work with the knife, hold the knife, carve with the knife, and have fun and want to learn more. We learn how to make a papaya flower. We learn how to make different radish flowers. I add like little things, you know, things that we didn't learn from the first course and second course. A penguin out of an eggplant, which is everybody loves because it's so adorable and adds so much. Also a watermelon with a V-cut, and it's just a very pretty centerpiece, very pretty centerpiece. We learn also different animals. Again, we have to add a little spice to all these things to make things not as complicated, because even though it's the third course, we want to have fun learning other things. So I teach them how to make a turtle of an apple, and that you should see the smile on the face when the students do these things. If I would just sit back and take a picture of them, these people smile from ear to ear, because it's a fun, therapeutic, and they go home with the skill, and they could always entertain whatever, a party, a simcha, you name it. We learn how to make calla lilies, which add really gorgeous, it's a gorgeous flower, looks real. You could do that just on a centerpiece, add like a bouquet, or in a platter. I give all these, I show them different ways of putting it on a platter or making it as a bouquet of flowers. Also, we work with a honeydew. We make a star flower. A lot of things I invented as I was going on, designs. Mm-hmm. We learn how to make a bird out of a daikon radish. And again, these are more advanced. After they take the three courses, some of them want to learn the real detailed carving on a watermelon. That means either bar mitzvah, tefillin, and the name. Carving letters on a watermelon is really complicated. You need to be very delicate, extremely careful, and you have to learn how to work with a crisis. If you do a mistake, not to cry and dump the watermelon and start all over. I call it plastic surgery. You have to do that because otherwise, you know, you're working with a knife and you're working with a watermelon. things can go wrong, but you have to know how to do this plastic surgery that a normal eye won't notice it. And basically that's, you know, in life, everything. You can't just give up and then dump it and go ahead. You have to be ready to have a crisis while you're carving, when it's a detailed work. When it's simple things, you know, nobody notices. You have to still also learn how to work around it. But when it comes to carving, you have to really, you know, learn. You learn as you go on, and I always, you know, tell this to the students, so they realize that they're going to have to come up with a solution, so then they do. If you don't prepare them, some people don't have that instinct to know how to do it. So I usually, that's my specialty also. Besides that, I break down everything and make it simple. I give them a lot of tricks and prepare them for a crisis that they know what to do in case something happens,
right.
How to be prepared. And I also am a personal chef. I cook for people at homes, especially before Pesach, Sukkot. I get very busy Pesach. Most people have kitchens, Pesach kitchens at homes. They hire me. I cook from A to Z. Some people hire me just for my desserts. I have very unique desserts that I came up with recipes that changed over the years. That, you know, Pesach desserts usually are not that good.
Right.
My desserts, you gain weight with them on Pesach. You really do. They're excellent, and I'm also a good cook. So between both, this is also word of mouth. People that know me and hire me. Pesach, I get very busy. You have to book in advance. Sometimes I have cancellations, so you can always call. You never know. And again, it's my passion, the cooking, the baking, and everything, and you know, it's all in one. I try to do the best I can.
Tell us once again how people can get in touch with you through your website and through your phone number.
Sure. So my number is 917-803-6051, and my office is 718-258-9491. My website is gloriouscreationsdesserts.com. If you're a little too lazy to Google Glorious Creations Desserts, just Google my name, Esther Zafrani, and it will come up. So you will have all the information, and just I would like to hear from you, so please give me a call.
Thank you very much, Esther. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for listening in. Good night, one and all. This is Chaim Schmidt from The Kosher Scene.